Friends, as was announced, the subject of our lecture today is Cycles in Nature and Man. We have just passed a very important day in nature's calendar, that is 21st of December, the day of winter solstice. This is a day on which sun, which was traveling in the southern hemisphere, stops, and from this point onwards, it begins its journey back into the northern hemisphere. So it's a day of rejoicing, and therefore, pagan religions, they celebrated this day as the birth date of sun. And similarly, knowing the significance, understanding the importance of this event, Christian fathers, they fixed the date of their Savior as 25th of December. And very shortly, as was announced, we will be welcoming the new year, celebrating the new year. So we see that every year, periodically, certain events, they visit us. We celebrate them, and we, in fact, place great reliance on the cyclic return of events. These are some of the countless cycles which are there in nature's calendar. Now, what is a cycle? Cycle, we are told, is a period of time in which events occur in certain order and which constantly repeats itself. So, you have the cycle of day and night. And every day has got a morning, noon, evening and night. And this happens cyclically. Similarly, you have the cycle of seasons, in which you have seasons of spring, summer, autumn and winter. They are repeating themselves. There is also a cycle of moon's phases, 28 days. So that moon, say, begins with a full moon day, and then it becomes no moon, and then once again it becomes full moon. Likewise, there is also a cycle of sun, sidereal cycle, in which sun travels through 12 signs of zodiac in some 25,868 years. So these are the cycles in nature. These are only few of innumerable cycles. And cycle, we are told, is a term which is derived from Greek word kuklos, means a ring. Corresponding term in Sanskrit is called kalpa. Now, there can be big cycle, there can be small cycle. Kalpa, we are told, is a very big cycle which contains within it smaller cycles. Like you have in the watch, smaller rings, bigger rings. So kalpa is a bigger cycle which has many, many small cycles, like manvantara, there are mahayugas, and there are also yugas called satyayuga, tretayuga, dwaparayuga and kaliyuga. Indian philosophy is talking about all these four yugas. So you see, these are the cycles that are there in nature, but likewise, within man's nature also, there are cycles to be observed. So you see, we have this cycle of inbreathing and outbreathing. This happens periodically, regularly. We take the breath inside and then outside. Our heart, it contracts and expands. There is a continuous contraction and expansion of the heart so that the blood is pushed out of the heart and then it returns back to heart. And if we are observant, you will also see that there is also a cycle of sleeping and waking, and cycle, the big cycle, of life and death. And if we pay attention, we will realize that there are also other cycles which people have actually carried out study. They say that man experiences certain cycles which are physical cycles, cycles in their emotional nature, cycles in their intellectual nature, which are called biorhythmic cycle. So that these cycles, for example, if you take physical cycle, that is of about 23 days. The emotional cycle is of 28 days. And the intellectual cycle is about 33 days. And these cycles, they say, they move in a sine wave fashion. So you have plus cycle and there is a minus cycle. There is a plus cycle and there is a minus cycle. So they move in a sine wave fashion right from the date of the birth of an individual to the date of his death. And so you find that there is this positive cycle changing over to the negative, and the day on which this crossover, as it were, happens from plus to minus, from minus to plus, negative to positive or positive to negative, they are called critical days. These are the days which are of uncertainty, these are called the days of flux, and you are this prone. But how do we understand these cycles? We are told that if you take physical cycle, then which is of 23 days, so starting from day 2 to day 11, one would be in the positive phase of the cycle where you are affected in your physical nature. We are talking about the physical cycle. So you are affected in your physical nature. What happens when you are in a plus cycle? You are feeling energized from inside. The physical work becomes easier for you to do. You are sort of, you know, physically charged. But when you are going through the negative phase, you tend to tire more easily because you are in a recuperative phase. You are now recharging yourself. Similarly, if you take emotional cycle, in the positive half of the cycle, you tend to be more cheerful, more optimistic, and in the negative phase of the cycle, you tend to be irritable, you tend to be negative. And if you take intellectual cycle, in the positive half of the cycle, in the positive phase of the cycle, your mind has got a greater clarity. You are able to concentrate on complex things and make sense of it. And in the negative part, you find your mind not so charged or not so alert. These are scientific observations. These are biorhythmic cycles derived as a result of scientific observations of lots of you know, individuals' lifestyle. And this is a cycle, as it were, which is indicating that these are happening also in our nature periodically. And critical days, as we said, they are the days when we are changing. But we are told that not everyone is affected exactly to the same extent. This, to how much extent will be affected by these various cycles depends upon our general temperament. If the person is more excitable, then he will be affected to a greater extent as compared to another individual who is very calm, who is level-headed, he will be affected to a lesser extent. And how do this, you know, emotional cycle, how do they return? It's a little difficult to say, understand. But we are told that impressions, they also have their cycles. How do we understand this? We can maybe look at the tube light at night when it is on and look on for some time and then close our eyes, and what happens? The image of the tube light comes before your mind's eye, flashes and disappears, again it flashes, and this, it goes on flashing for a very, very long time. This is a cyclic return of the impression which was there on your retina. Likewise, we are told that the emotional cycles, the moods, these things also, they periodically return. And now, just as we are affected, we can see that we are affected by our own cycles, sleeping, waking, and these biorhythmic cycles. We are also affected by the cycles which are there in nature. To a large extent, I mean, if you look at it, you find your sleeping and waking itself is influenced by the rising and setting of the sun. So you are following, as it were, matching the cycle which is there in nature. If you take cycle of season, we have told that every one of us is affected also by the change, the cycle of season, in terms of what we wear, what we eat, what crops we grow, and how we feel also. Sometimes we are affected by these cycles. And in fact, this cycle of season, that is something so important that even your marketing and production people, they have something called as, you know, seasonal fluctuations. They take care, they take into account the seasonal factor in planning, in projecting the sale, or maybe in planning their production. Likewise, we are told that there are other cycles, cycles of phases of moon. Moon's phases, it has direct effect on the tides, on the conception, and also it affects the mental state and so mental disorders. Lunatics are known to go more insane during the full moon. And King Charles VI, he went insane on every new moon as well as on the beginning of full moon. And there is also the cycle of sunspots, which come into existence every 11 years. And sunspots, they are known to affect what is potatoes in terms of the potato disease outbreaks when there are sunspots. So you find that cycles affect us, and yet we do place a lot of reliance on these cycles in planning our life. And yet, since the things are repeating themselves, one wonders, what is the purpose of cycle? If the events are going to repeat themselves, would it not become all very dull, mechanical, monotonous? And we are told that no, it doesn't happen like that. Because we are told that cycle is not like a closed ring, so that you begin from a point and then trace a circle, and then when you return, you're back, exactly back to the same point from where you started. But that is not how the cycles are. Cycles are like spiral. So they are like the groove in a screw. So you begin from a point, and then from that point onwards, you are, as it were, imperceptibly moving higher and higher and higher while you trace the same path. But when you return, you are returning to the point which is slightly higher than from where you had started off. So this is something very, very significant. But how do we understand this? Every day has got morning, noon, evening and night. But we know that every day is not like maybe the yesterday. Today is not like yesterday. This spring, in this rain season, is not like the rain season of the previous year. There is some change that comes about. We have grown, we have moved forward. There is a change that comes about, which is not really a mechanical limitation. And we know that even tides, they don't occur at the same time. They come a little later every day. And if you throw a soap in a pond, then what will happen? The ripples will go out, hit the shore, and they will return back to the point of disturbance, but it is not exactly the same point. It is slightly higher. Why? It is easy to understand. You have thrown a stone into the pond, the stone has gone to the bottom of the pond, water level has risen, even imperceptibly to a small extent higher. So it returns, so it is not the same point, but slightly higher. And this is the message of cycles. This is what we are supposed to do by living the life. Not that you go on living the mundane, same old pattern, same old, in the same old groove. Live the same old way, not changing, remaining the, along the beaten path. We are supposed to unfold, we are supposed to grow, we are supposed to rise higher and higher. This is really what the cycles are supposed to do. And of course, it doesn't mean that we will not have our ups and downs, that we will be always kind of, you know, making sort of progress. We can take an example that if you are going to a hilltop, then sometimes you have a circular path which takes you right to the hilltop. And this circular path sometimes, as it were, dips into a valley, then rises at another point, and then again when you come back to that point, again the side, you know, path seems to be dipping, and again you rise and so on. But even in a particular, you know, circular circling, even when you are dipping, when you are down, you are at a level which is higher than the corresponding point in the previous circling. So this is what the cycles are supposed to do to us. But is it guaranteed to happen? Are we all always going to be making progress, rising higher and higher and higher? No, sadly no. It is not something which is guaranteed to happen. It depends how we live our life. Not every one of us will reach to enlightenment. Potentially, to become a perfected being like Buddha, Christ is there in you and me. Every one of us can become like Buddha. And yet, it depends how we live our life. So that maybe when the close of earth comes, not every one of us would have become a perfect Buddha. And this is explained very, very vividly and in a nice way by Bhikshu Sangharakshita. He says that in our life we function in reactive mode or in a creative mode. In a reactive mode, we react to external stimulus. We do not really think. It's a very automatic response that comes from us. Somebody speaks harshly to us immediately, you know, we are angry. We react automatically. But in a creative order, we are told that we think, we then respond, we act, we originate. We bring into some existence something which was not there before. We are creating maybe a piece of art, a new state of higher state of consciousness. This is what the reactive order does. People who are creative order does. In a reactive order, we act very mechanically. We tend to, you know, therefore repeat what we did earlier in a particular situation. We do today what we did yesterday. We do in this week what we did in the previous week. We do in this year what we did in the previous year. And we do in this life what we did in the previous life. And thus, lives just go on and you are sort of going into the groove. And in the creative order, therefore, we are oscillating between the pairs of opposite, pleasure, pain, gain, loss, and so on. But in a creative order, we are told that you change yourself as a result of the experience. An inner change comes about, you learn something, you develop, you grow. And so next time around, when that experience comes, you are able to look at it in a different perspective. You are able to see finer aspects of it. And so, something gave you pleasure. Next time around, similar experience, you are not going to, you know, experience just the same old pleasure, which eventually will turn into pain because repetition is not going to bring the same pleasure again. And also if the thing is taken away, it gives you pain. But in the creative order, next time around, you transform the pleasure into the experience of happiness. You transform the experience of happiness into that of joy. You transform the experience of joy into that of delight. And delight into bliss, bliss into rapture, and rapture into ecstasy. This is what we can do, provided we try to learn from our experience. And yet, since most of us do not live in this manner, we are told that in the next round, currently all of us are in the fourth round. In the next round, when the manas, the mind is fully active, we will come across what is called as a moment of choice. in which we will have to determine whether we are going to take evolution in our hands and go along the right hand path, want to become a perfected being, spiritual being, or go down the way, pursue evil and become ultimately annihilated. And we are told that if we fail to make the right choice, if we fail to make the choice, if we remain wavering, if we remain indifferent, if we remain lukewarm, then we are told that we will perish while we live. This is a challenge before us, and so we need to really take charge. And this is easy again to understand. That oak tree produces millions of acorns, out of which perhaps one will go in, get buried into the soil, and it will grow into another oak tree. Rest are all destroyed. Similarly, Krishna says that among thousands of mortals, perhaps a single one strives for perfection, and among those who are striving, perhaps a single one knows me as I am. So, real challenge is there before us. But therefore, we need to take charge and make this positive journey. And of course, it is true that until we reach the human stage of development, the evolution, the progress is almost automatic, mineral to vegetable to animal kingdom. Intelligences are governing this progress and the impulse comes from within. But once we reach the human stage of development, we have a power of choice, we have to think and choose and take, as it were, charge of our future, shape our destiny. Now, as we shape our own destiny by what actions that we do, we are likewise shaping the destiny of the nation, of the race, of the race, nation and civilization to which we belong. And just as a man has got birth, growth, decay and then death, like that, even nations, civilizations, races, they pass through that period of birth, growth, decay and death. And we know that civilizations, they reach great heights and ultimately they fall and they are destroyed. They go out of existence, as it were. Egyptian civilization, Babylonian civilizations, they are some of the examples before our historically noted examples. Similarly, races, they also have their phases of growth, birth, growth, decay and death. So they experience the golden age, the silver age, the bronze age and also then the iron age. The question is that why does it always happen? Why can't we just go on growing and growing and reach phenomenal heights? The reason is that we are told that egos which make a race, they derive as much experience that is possible in that race body, and having derived maximum experience that was possible, finally they leave this race to populate another and higher race. And when these egos they leave, those who were less progressed, less experienced, they begin to take birth in this race body. And because they are not so progressed, they are not able to really take advantage of the higher mental powers and the abilities which are there in this higher race body. And you experience that suddenly the race is showing descending savagery. It's not the same glorious race as it was. But because this less progressed egos have come and occupied, it seems to be going down. Similarly, another thing can happen. That race as a whole can can make terrible choices, can do wickedly, and we, as a result of this, as a kind of backlash, be destroyed as a result of cataclysms and upheavals. It happens that continents they simply sink and the race, entire race is destroyed. This can happen. But what happens to the egos? They continue their journey. They continue in another nation, another civilization, another race, coming back after the period of rest, after the cycle. They follow the cycle of reincarnation. And we are told that we, when we die, we do not born, we are not born immediately. There is a period of rest, and the average period is something like 1500 years. So these egos, which left the race, then they come together in mass after the rest period. And they bring with them their ideas, their character, their imagination, whatever they have done, they bring with them when they populate another race. And that is why sometimes they also repeat what they did earlier, and you have history repeating itself. How does it happen? This is because people, those egos, they are bringing what they had learned earlier, and they sometimes repeat what they have done. But they have the advantage. What is the advantage? They are not born immediately. They have come after almost 15 centuries. In the meantime, the humanity has progressed. It has moved forward. So when they come back, they have the advantage of the progress made by the egos. So sort of an impulse is given for the higher, progress. And these ideas are beautifully brought out in the quotation which is there in your handout, in Mr. Jaji's two quotations. First says, therefore, the souls who made the most ancient civilizations will come back and bring the whole civilization in them, with them, in idea and essence, which being added to what others have done for the development of the human race in its character and knowledge, will produce a new and higher state of civilization. This newer and better development will not be due to books, to records, to arts or mechanics, because all those are periodically destroyed so far as physical evidence goes, but the soul ever retaining in manas the knowledge it once gained, and always pushing to completer development the higher principles and powers, the essence of progress remains and will as surely come out as the sun shines. And talking about what happened to Egyptian egos, he says in the next quotation, but the Egyptian souls who helped in planning the pyramid of Gizeh, who took part in the Egyptian government, theology, science and civilization, departed from their old race, that race died out, and former Egyptians took up their work in the oncoming races of the West, especially in those which are now repeopling the American continent. And Mr. Judge as well, he says that we are really those Atlanteans who lived wickedly and were annihilated, were destroyed. We have in the cycle, therefore, another aspect. Cycle, therefore, gives us opportunity. We have come again, we were Atlanteans, we were destroyed, but we are now given new body, new environment to undo the mistakes of the past, as he says, to make a new beginning, to make right choices, to turn a corner. This is up to us, and the cycle gives us an opportunity. We say, okay, today it is not done, tomorrow it's another day. You can make a fresh beginning tomorrow. Cycles give excellent opportunity to mend your ways. And if we fail to learn the lesson, then we are told that karma places you again and again in similar situations till you learn your lesson. And so sometimes you find that you land yourself in trouble. Again and again you find yourself in squat. Same thing seems to be hitting you. And that is the time you need to sit up and wonder, why is it that I'm always financially crunched, or always I'm down in dumps? What is it? It could be because you are lazy, it could be because you are very, very sensitive, it could be because you are taking whatever advice comes from another, it could be because you are very temperamental, you are losing your anger all the time. When you examine why you are placed in similar situation, you will arrive at question, what is the weak point? What is the lesson which is there in that incidence? And then we will be able to work on it and, you know, overcome it. And then there is another aspect, that when the body has served its purpose, what happens? The body dies and the ego moves on, takes on another body to carry on the evolution. But what is it that determines the lifespan? Lifespan of a person is determined by his own individual karma as well as the collective karma of the race to which he belongs, and he has that race body. Both these are the factors which will determine how long he is going to live. And once the time comes, you die. There is nothing that can stop from you dying. So, just as what happens to our body, there is something similar that happens to the body of the globe. It has the continents, it has got the oceans, but when the time comes, as it were, they, because they are also affected or subject to the law of karma and re-embodiment, they also experience this sort of a destruction. So we are told that when one cycle is about to end and another one is about to begin, at the intersection of cycles, great upheavals, great cataclysms are typically experienced. So you have, you know, suddenly continent going down, tsunami, earthquakes, tornadoes and so on. Why this? What happens? Why this very always happens? We are told that three things which are, you know, atoms of the earth, etc., they are subject to the law of karma and re-embodiment, which is affected by what man does. Man's thoughts, his feelings, his emotions, the way he lives his life, it's like a dynamo, continuously, you know, generating energy, generating tremendous energy. And if all of us are generating that tremendous energy, one can imagine the impact, the collective impact, it will reach sort of an exploding point, and it would then experience this cataclysms. So in the next quotation, in quotation 3, we are told, at the intersection of brain cycles, dynamic effects follow and alter the surface of the planet by shifting of force or flow or other convulsions. Man is a great dynamo, making, storing and throwing out energy. And when masses of man composing brains thus make and distribute energy, there is a resulting dynamic effects on material of the globe, which is powerful enough to be distinct and cataclysmic. So, this is again indicating the cyclic return, why things happen. Also in the in our observance, what happens in the nature. So there are cycles there in the nature. But what is it really which is behind all these cycles? As was indicated in the announcement, in the preliminary remarks, what is it really which causes this law of cycles to operate in the universe? What is behind this law of cycles? You may ask that question. Is it some god who is making these cycles? We are told that in philosophy, God is not a person, not an individual who is, you know, planning things and, you know, deciding this how things should happen. God is one reality which is Parabrahma, eternal, unthinkable, which is always is. And in that, as was announced, periodically, numberless universes come into existence and they are dissolved back into that one reality. And you can take a symbology of breath. With the out-breathing, the universes come into existence, and with the in-breathing, they are dissolved back into that reality. This is like, you know, that great one reality, breathing in and breathing out, breathing in and breathing out. So, cycles, therefore, is the fundamental law in which the deity, the law of the God, is expressing itself. And this is also seen, expressed in terms of the cycles that we see in the nature, as well as cycles in our man's nature also. And this is not something which is arbitrarily fixed by some god, what happens in the universe. We are told that this universe comes into existence, which is a result and continuation of the karma of the individuals who were involved in the previous universe. Previous universe created a stock of karma as a result of individuals undergoing evolution. This is a resultant and a continuation of the previous one. And likewise, we can imagine that our earth is something which has come into existence and we are undergoing evolution from where we left off when we were on the moon journey. And just as a man, finally body has got death and finally we are reincarnated, and the new body, new environment, etc. are determined according to the karma which we have generated in the past. Likewise, the universe also takes its rebirth according to the karma which is generated in the past. Karma is a law of action and reaction, cause and effect. This is therefore a continuation of the previous universe. And then, this is again another thing that is being indicated, is that if man is making the cycles, if man's karma is behind the cycles, then it is up to us really to chalk out our own program, as it were. We can even rise above the limitations which the cycles seem to be placing upon an average individual. So we are told that if you have a bright student, then what will a bright student do? He perhaps will clear more than one standard in 1 year. He will clear 5th and 6th standard in 1 year, and then next two standards in 1 year. He can clear the examination after examination, multiple examinations in few years, and get out of the school and even get a college degree. There are cases reported. Likewise, we are told that we need not be therefore bogged down by the periodical evolution, which small and smaller stages we can, really have to tread our path. Not necessarily. We can, like a bright student, take charge and evolve much faster than what cycles are perhaps putting a limit on an average humanity. And that's what Buddha did. That's what Shankara did. They were called 6th rounders. Currently we are in the 4th round. We are in the 4th standard. They reached that level of evolution, that level of progress and development, which the humanity as a whole will reach only when it reaches the 6th round. So they were called 6th rounders. And this is, as it were, kind of giving us a hope that what they have done, we can also do. And it is also possible for us to actually change the cycles. How somebody, say, is having the bouts of depression, periodically moods may return. So periodically the poor person is expressing depression. And there are many, many, many cases these days where you periodically go through the phase of depression. Then we are told that it is possible for us to change that moods of depression which periodically comes and change it into mood of elation. Now this is extremely, it's very incredulous, but very feasible, possible. We are told that when the moods of depression, when the blue moods as it were come, we should be starting a cycle which is of an opposite nature. We have to feel joyous, feel elated. And excellent advice Mr. George gives to his friend who was experiencing this periodic phases of depression. And very scientific way he explains how this cycle can be changed. We need not be really, always working according to our moods. We can change our moods. So look at the quotation 5. He says, so take this occasion of despondency, which he, his friend, what he should have done was that being the return of an old impression, to have compelled himself to feel joyous even against his will. And if
he could not have done that, then to have tried to feel the joy of others, by doing that, he would have implanted in himself another impression, that is of joy, so that when this thing returned once more, instead of being of the same quality and extension, it would have been changed by the impression of joy or elation, and the two things coming together would have counteracted each other, just as two billiard balls coming together tend to counteract each other's movement. This applies to every person who has the blues. Simple, practical, important advice. You are given the bouts of anger, again, you are supposed to start a counteracting cycle of opposite nature. We are, most of the time, in a position, as it were, to begin and counteract such cycles. They won't change overnight. It will take a lot of cycles to go on giving these positive impressions. Feel the joy when you are feeling depressed. Maybe listen to some elevating music, music which uplifts you, read some good books, try to feel the joy of others. We have to do this. And before long, these impressions will also come along with depression. These will come, and since you are giving impetus to this, this one will go weaker and weaker, and you will have changed that depressive cycle into the cycle of joy. Very practical, very important implication of these cycles. And likewise, cycles can actually be used to our advantage. If we have the knowledge of the law of cycles, we can use it for our benefit. And that's exactly what our ancients did. They knew that a life, a baby, it will have its childhood, it will become an adolescent, then it will become an adult, and it will then grow old. These four phases are experienced by any average human being. So what they did, they divided life into four phases, four ashrams. Four ashrams took care of the duties and the needs, not just of the outer man, but also of the inner man. This is one practical aspect or implication of cycles can be used. Another example, that if we have seen and watched our biorhythmic cycle, and we know that we are in that one of the negative phase when we are feeling low and all that, we have to hold on and not get, you know, depressed or dejected. Yes, I will take advantage of the upward swing comes. And more important, we are told that day on which are called critical days, when the positive cycle changes to the negative and negative changes to positive, those are the critical points, critical days. They are supposed to be days of uncertainty, flux, unpredictable, you are more risk prone, or you are prone to making errors, mistakes, so you become more cautious. Pilots, studies have been carried out, pilots tend to make mistakes in those critical days. Error in judgment and surgeons, they are also cautious, particularly on those days. This is scientific observation and again, advantage taken of knowing that these are the days you have to be greatly, you know, cautious. Similarly, now we just celebrated Christmas. We are told that the period between Christmas and Easter is an excellent period for making new resolutions. You want to change maybe your diet habit, you want to quit smoking or quit drinking, or you want to become maybe regular with the meetings which you found always very difficult. You resolve that now onwards, I am this year making a new beginning. I am going to, when the urge comes, maybe smoking or whatever, I am not going to use to eat, but I will do this positive. To replace that which was negative with something that was positive. You can take advantage because it's an upward cycle. And in upward cycle, your resolution will have an added strength and you will be able to keep your resolve. And this is basically the science behind astrology itself. It's not something which is just a myth. We are told that scientists who have observed the movement of the comet in the sky, he will be able to, as also a couple of times it's written, he will be able to then mathematically work out exactly when again the comet is going to visit the Earth. You find scientific predictions are very accurate. They can tell you as a result of their observations and their mathematical calculations. They are able to tell you. It is because it's cyclically it's coming back. Likewise, the scientists of life, Mahatmas, the sages, they have actually observed countless individuals, cycle upon cycle, in different conditions, in different stellar spaces, how they behave, how they respond to the difficulties, how they respond when there is no joy. They have made so much observations, they have recorded it, they have deciphered it, and as a result of this scientific study, they have arrived at a means in the sort of heavens, means to tell exactly when something is going to happen. They will tell such and such event. For example, they say that great political personage or some religious personage is going to take birth. Such things can be predicted accurately to another date by the great ones. They look into what is called as the clock of karma, the clock of the cycle. They look into the zodiacs, the constellations, and in that they have a means of telling what events are going to take place. What are the phases which are not so favorable? What are the phases which are so useful, helpful to humanity? They have figured out this means. And people think that it is this, therefore, the constellation which is, bringing my fate and making me be affected. No, it is not the constellation which is really determining something which is going to happen. They simply indicate what is going to take place. They are just the pointers. They do not make things happen. For example, if you have two hands at 12 in the clock, we can easily say that the sun will be arriving in the sky. It is not the clock which is making the sun go and come above our head. They are therefore simply the indicators which the great ones really have as a result of this study figured out, and that is what is used in astrology. But people go too far. They would be consulting astrologers for even setting up for their house, or for doing any small thing, they would be consulting their horoscope, the astrologer. We need not go that far. We should be aware that there is science, and if you happen to get a right astrologer, the one who is intuitive, who is pure, who knows the science accurately, perhaps you can use it for the advantage, but not get obsessive and blindly follow it, which is what people tend to do. And lastly, we are told that there is great important cycle, that of avatars. We, in helping us to make onward progress, the great ones, periodically they descend on earth among humanity and give out age-old wisdom. Krishna, we are told, was an avatar. Rama was an avatar. And the messengers also periodically come. Krishna says that when there is a vice, insurrection of vice, injustice in the world, I incarnate in the world for the distribution of, for the preservation of the just, the destruction of the wicked, and the establishment of the righteous. And since there are a few minutes left, we will take up your questions on this important subject of cycles. The excellent contribution here is given that people who are undergoing a terrible phase of depression may not be in a position really to really come out of it, feel maybe joyous and such. It may not be possible. In such cases, perhaps an external help may be needed. There are those social workers, there are people who just intrinsically know. In their presence, a person tends to feel cheerful when they are around. They will uplift, they will, you know, leave, as it were, certain seeds with this. Something which is said, looking at life in a positive way, but it is not given as a sermon or teaching something. It's done by them. So naturally, that this person feels once again, you know, that no, life is worth it, and I will make effort. Yes, that's exactly what we should be doing for others who you come to know that they are experiencing this life. But it is a very delicate thing, and you should have the skill to do that. And that's what the great ones actually do. When we are going through the Kali Yuga, the bad phase, they plant those seeds of wisdom, you know, which again, it's up to the individual who is undergoing depression to really lend a ear and listen to what this person is trying to help. We also are given great teachings by these great ones when we are passing through the downward cycle and a new one is about to begin. They also plant the seeds into the knowledge. They give it an upward swing, upward push, upward impetus. So it's very, very important and practical. And maybe we can close with this excellent story which is there, in which a girl was feeling very dejected and depressed because it was a rainy day, she couldn't go out in the woods for picnic and all that. So a fairy came and she said, why don't you open your umbrella? And she said, I can't open an umbrella in the house. So she says, the fairy, in the quotation 6, she says, when we want to cry, we hurry up with our hot umbrellas, and then no rain tears can dampen us. Our hot umbrellas are made of laughter and hope with the thoughts of gay and happy days, and scarcely have we raised them over us when the crossness or the sadness disappears. Oh, our jolly hot umbrellas are fine things. Count your blessings.